in the morning when I rise. Give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
If you take Jesus, you're taking a winner. If he takes you, you've been chosen by a winner. Somebody say praise the Lord. Why don't you give him a big hand clap of praise if you love him this morning. Amen. It's good to be back in the house of God, isn't it? We had a wonderful time here last night. How many of you enjoyed Brother David's message last night? Praise the Lord. There's power in our confessions. It'll work for us or it'll work against us, Brother Terry. I want our confessions to work for us, don't you? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God today. Play it if you will.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes this morning while we look at our prayer requests. First of all, let me make this announcement. The blood drive, the Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ blood drive, will be on Thursday, August the 21st, from 2 p.m. until 7 p.m. on Thursday, August the 21st. So get on over to the library, get your name on that donation list, and let's help these folks out. They have absolutely fell in love with this church. They love your blood. Amen. So let's do our part. Let's do something, give something back to the community. I was just going to read this little footnote here. It says 5,600 times a day, someone receives a unit of Red Cross blood. That's quite a bit for a day's time, isn't it? So let's do our part. If you'll remember that, there's a note, like I said, on the bulletin board out in the lobby. You can get more details if you need. But remember that, August the 21st. Let's look at our prayer request this morning. I want to remember Sister Alice Horn in prayer. Very sick in body this morning, needs a touch from the Lord. So let's pray for our sister that the Lord would be mindful of her. Angel Latchman sends this in. Urgent prayers needed for my baby. The doctor says she has a throat infection. It's been really affecting her. She hasn't been able to feed normal. So this sister's asking us to pray for that child. So let's remember that prayer request this morning as we pray. Joshua Tucker sends this in to please remember some dear friends of mine, Brother Taron Metcalf and his wife, Sister Judy. They were in a serious accident yesterday on their way to church. I believe someone ran a stop sign and hit them very hard. Judy is 5 months pregnant, and as of this morning, the hospital cannot find a heartbeat. Please pray for them and that family. Only God knows. We're just asking the Lord for a miracle. So let's pray for that need as we pray today. I want to pray for Sister Anna Shipley's son, who had a four-wheel accident, fractured his neck, has 5 fractured ribs. Something is wrong with his lungs, so they're asking that we would remember that prayer request this morning, that God would be mindful of them. Brother Byron Palmer says, please remember my niece, Hannah Cabaret Jackson, in prayer. After battling breast cancer for 11 years, the doctors have determined they can do no more for her. Also pray for strength and comfort for the family during this time. So we certainly want to pray for that need today, that the Lord would be mindful of that situation. Sister Clara Moore says, please have the church remember my nephew for a very urgent unspoken prayer request the Lord knows all about. Brother Wes Willis' mother-in-law is fighting a serious cancer threat. She is requiring constant attention and care and is in a lot of pain. Her name is Claire Presnell, so let's remember that need as we pray today. Certainly want to still continue to remember Brother Junior Davis and the Davis family in particular, that the Lord would just undergird them with his strength, his love, and may he just wrap his arms around that family. If we was there, we'd wrap our arms around them too, wouldn't we? So let's pray for that family, that God would just give them strength. We don't know what God's got in store, but I do know this, Brother Junior Davis, if he stays, it'll be a miracle and a testimony to the power of our God. And if he goes, he just beat us home by a few days. So I know he's a winner either way it turns out. Do you believe that this morning? You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about? You believe God's able this morning? Now when I am alone, when I am alone, when I feel so alone, give me Jesus, will give me Jesus, give me Jesus. Let's stand this morning, Brother Wes. I want you to come lead us to the Lord on behalf of these prayer requests. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord. I know God's able to meet the needs of every one of them. Don't you? Amen. You believe that with all your heart. Amen. Brother Wes, God bless you this morning, buddy. Appreciate you.
Real quick, I'd like to say a real quick testimony. We had a situation come up in our family recently. Where some violent criminal activity came against us, and I brought it to the attention of a few people, kind of, you know, under the surface, to where I didn't want it out in the public that much because it was kind of a dangerous situation. The saints came together and prayed, and we were delivered from a potentially very serious situation, and instantly. And our Lord is a mighty God. And I just want you to know, he does miraculous things. And we can count on him and we can believe in him. Let's bow our heads. Father, since sin and death came into this world, Lord, we've had to face tragedy, death, loss, sickness, all kinds of horrible, horrible things, Lord, that we were never meant to have to go through. Lord, we've had to face those things, and we've had to live through them and fight through them. And we've had to learn to survive through them, Lord, in some cases. But Lord, you made a way to comfort us. You made a way to forgive us and restore us. You made a way to heal us, Lord. Lord, you raised up a standard against death and sin. Why, with all the wickedness that comes against us as human beings, Lord, why with all that people would try to turn from you and make excuses for sin? And try to say that you're too hard, when all the things that the devil has put on us show us who the one that is hard is. You're easy, Lord. You're love. You raise up a standard, Lord. I come in here, and when the collective presence of your Holy Ghost, Lord, is in the saints, I feel such comfort. I feel like I'm in a place of refuge. I feel like I'm in a place of safety where I can trust you. And Lord, we may go through hard things. We may face sickness. We may face death. But we're facing it together as your body, as your bride. And we can do that, Lord, totally victorious, with no sign of death or defeat among us, Lord, not in reality. Our reality is a different one. It's a reality of faith, Lord, and things that may not be seen yet, Lord, but that are coming to pass as we walk through this world. And every single day that we get up, we're one day closer to our final redemption, Lord, to our final time, to our final victory, Lord, when we walk into to eternity with our King and our groom, Lord. And we're just looking forward to it so much. Lord, your word comes forth and it gives us strength and it gives us the ability, Lord, to face anything. There is nothing that can stop this bride, Lord. There is no strength. There is no war. There's no battle. There's no sickness. No death can come against us, Lord, because we are undefeatable, because our victory is already ensured, Lord. Lord God, we just place our faith on these requests. There are people here in pain. There are people here who are going through the worst time of their life, Lord Jesus. If you'll just reveal yourself to them the way you have me recently, Lord, and you'll just show them, Lord, that there is a true love, there is a true God still on his throne, still in charge, Lord. I ask you to give them that revelation. I ask you to bring healing, Lord, where it's your will. I ask you to bring peace and to bring joy, Lord, into the hearts of those that the devil's trying to whip. And Lord God, we just thank you once again. We thank you that you're going to use a man this morning to come out here and speak the words of life to us, Lord. Unapologetically, Lord. Not trying to make excuses for sin, Lord, but to stomp it, to kill it, to drive it out from among your people, Lord, and to help us stand in victory against Satan. Lord, we love you with all our hearts. We want to worship you with everything we've got this morning, Lord. We want to give you everything that you deserve, Father, as you wash us clean by the watering of the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God bless you. ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here today, we certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you here. I think we have some folks visiting with us this morning. Eddie Hogue and family. I hope I got that name right. Where are you folks at this morning? Would you just raise your hand? Where are you folks at? Right back here. Give them a nice hand this morning. God bless you. Glad to have you. We had some folks last night visiting with us from South Carolina. I don't know if they're here again this morning or not. Are you the Hogues? Are you the family from Tulsa, Oklahoma? God bless you. We certainly welcome you to the service. God bless you this morning. Let's sing a song this morning. Go ahead and give them another hand if you want to. Every time we sung this song and time's gone by, I don't know why, but my mind always went to Brother Tracy Brizendine. When I'm growing old and feeble, Lord, stand by me. Well, you know what? Brother Tracy is not old and feeble this morning. It's untelling what he's up to right now. But this is a good song. I want the Lord to stand by me. There's great people that can stand by your side, but there's only one that can take you across Jordan. That's the Lord Jesus. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him this morning. When the storms of life are raging, I'll sing it now. Oh, when the storms of life are raging, when the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. Of tribulation, I'll sing it now. Oh, in the midst of tribulation, when the host of hell assail and my strength begins, sing it. Let you be seated this morning. We have a couple of songs. Sister Benton has a song for us. If you come on, Brother David Swanson, if you come on to the platform, be getting ready to sing after she sings this morning. Let's enjoy our singers. Give them a nice hand as they come to sing for you this morning.
Brother Louis, asked me if I'd sing it as well this morning, so it could be flat. But he asked me last night, and I kind of thought, I'd like to dedicate this to Brother Junior Davis and his family. Not just dedicate it, but direct it towards them. There's many ways that the Lord can heal. One way is through song. I pray you just enter in with me for that family and for his needs. When peace like a river attendeth my way, oh, when sorrows like sea billows roll, oh, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, even so it is well with my soul, though Satan should buffet, though the trials should come, let this blessed assurance control. Glorious thought, oh, my sin, not in part, but the whole, oh, it is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Yeah.
thee for thy coming. We wait. Oh, the sky, not the grave, is our goal. Oh, the shout of the angel. Hallelujah. Oh, the voice of the Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Amen.
I was talking to Brother Ben last night, and he said his daddy, in the condition he's in, not be able to even drink water, tongue swelled up in his mouth, shriveled up, can't talk. They put on a tape. I don't know if it was music, preaching, but even in his condition, his hand go up. And I know he's saying, it is well with my soul. Hallelujah.
Praise be to God. How many has it well in your heart this morning? Trust you have that same confession. So this morning, let's just bow our hearts while the presence of the Lord is here. Let's just ask Him to come and help us this morning as we look into His Word. Oh, Lord Jesus, how we love You this morning, Lord, with all of our hearts. Lord, how You move on us, Lord. Our bodies don't even know how to react. Knowing, Lord, that You are the mighty God who raised from the dead. Lord, man thought it was over. The devil thought he had won. Hallelujah. Lord, 3 days in that tomb, You resurrected from the grave. And this morning, You are a risen Savior. Lord, and You are here, Father. And we believe that You are among us. For Lord, we know that 50 days later, You sent back the Holy Ghost upon Your church. And we believe, Lord, that we are a part of that original church, Lord, that was born on the day of Pentecost. Lord, I pray that You just come now and take Your word, Lord. May You speak to us, Father. May You, Lord, just say something that would be edifying to the body of Christ this morning. Lord, You see every need and You know every heart, Lord, and You're mindful of those needs. And we ask that You would just come and have Your way this morning. Lord, as Your people, we just surrender to You now. Ask that there be liberty in the house of God, Lord. Drive anything from the building that's unlike You this morning. Father, may we just come, Lord, and just be able to put our licks of fire together, Lord. And may we just come, Lord, and just be able to shine the light that You have given us in this day. And Lord, when the last word is said and the last song is sang, we'll give You all the praise and all the glory and the honor. And everybody said amen. Amen. While you're standing, I'd like to look in the book of Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, I want to look at verse 11 and 12. And then I want to drop down to verse 24. And we will read from verse 24. And then we will give you our subject this morning and let you be seated. Certainly appreciate the Lord coming by and speaking to us last night. Ain't He mindful of us? Amen. So appreciate the Lord coming by and helping us. I told the Lord this morning when I was praying, Lord, I needed You last night, but I need You more today. And I did last night. Amen. And tomorrow, I'm going to need Him more tomorrow. So Genesis chapter 1, I want to look at verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now verse 24, just drop to the other page there. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth on the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, I'm preaching evolution. And then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over this fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Them who? And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Amen. I'd like to speak this morning, the Lord, to help us on a super race, a super race. You may be seated. May the Lord add blessings to the reading of the word this morning. I want to speak from this quote that is familiar for most of us. We've heard this most of our lives, you that's been around the message, and the message of the Pergamon church age and the church age book. Brother Ram is talking about, this scripture that we have just read in the book of Genesis chapter 1. And he's relating to this scripture when he says, here's what I'm trying to say to you. He said, the law of reproduction is that each species brings forth after its own kind. Even according to Genesis 1:11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding seed after his kind, whose seed it is itself upon the earth. And it was so. Whatever life was in the seed came forth into the plant, and thence it comes into the fruit. Whatever life was in the seed comes into the plant, and thence into the fruit. And the very same law applies to the church today. Whatever seed started the church, glory to God. Whatever seed started the church will come forth. It will be like the original seed. And the church said amen. It'll be like the original seed because it's the same seed. And in these last days, the true bride church, Christ's seed, will come to the headstone. She will be a super church, a super race, as she nears him. They and the bride will be so much like him, and they will be in his very image. This is in order to be united with him. They will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the word living, of the living God. Denominations can't produce this because they're not of the original seed. But they will produce their creeds and their dogmas mixed with the word. This mongrelizing brings forth a hybrid product. So Brother Ram is telling us that even from the beginning that God had instituted this law of reproduction within everything that he created. And he tells us that each species has got to bring forth, or whatever life is inside of it, it must bring forth an identical copy of what it is. No matter what species it is, within that species, we understand that within the nucleus, even of a plant or whatever seed it might be, there is a germ of life that is actually living within that nucleus. And we know that within the germ of life, it has attributes. And attributes of what that plant will be, what the seed will be, lays within that germ of life. If it's an orange, the orange has attributes of orange life in it. If it's an apple, it has the attributes of apple life in it. It's because within the DNA makeup, the strands of DNA within that plant, it has the characteristics of what is life is down inside that seed. Whatever life is in the seed must be reproduced after its own kind, or it's not from the right source. Now we know that scientists today, of course, they've taken plants, and Brother Brown preaches so much about it, how that they're taking and they begin to crossbreed and they make all kinds of plants that cannot breed back to the original seed. But when you're talking about the church will never be a hybrid product.
The bride itself will never be a hybrid. She must come forth from the original life source, the original seed, because as she's nearing Him, she's becoming in His very image. In other words, within the seed, there is a life in it that can only produce what it is already on the inside. Brother Ram says it comes forth into the plant. And then from the plant, now remember, the fruit doesn't come first. The plant comes first. And then after the plant is made manifest, then God's going to birth the fruit from the plant. Amen. Now, you understand that the plant is only a carrier of the life that is in the seed. It is not the fruit itself. It is not the seed per se itself. It is only a carrier of the life that is already in the seed. And we know that it carries it until it finally comes to its place of maturity. The plant carries the life till a time of maturity. Or I'll say an age of maturity. It's a time that the seed can be harvested from the plant. And I want to let you know, that's the time that we're living in today. We are living at the very top of the tree. We're living in the harvest time where every seed is producing what it is. Baptist is producing Baptist. Methodist is producing Methodist. Message people is producing message people. But the Word's producing words. He said the same law applies to the church. Whatever seed started, the church will come forth and be like the original seed. Because in the last days, which is the age we're living in now, He said the true bride church, Christ's seed, will come to the headstone. So He's telling us there's a message that we're going to come to. In order to produce this image, you have to be a recipient of a message that is sent in this day. There's no way to come to Word image unless you've come by the birth of the revealed Word of this hour, sent by Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, 7. You can't come to the image unless you come by the headstone. Right. And He says she will be, as she nears Him, she will be a super church, a super race as she nears Him. The bride will be so much like Him, they will even be in His very image. So in the end time, the bride will be the very image of God made manifest upon the earth. She will possess His characteristics. She will possess His attributes. She will possess His genes. She will possess His germ of life. She will possess His DNA. His genetic makeup will be her genetic makeup. Amen. We know that God has been restoring the church back to the original Word image that Adam and Eve lost in the beginning. Now, remember, the body itself is only a carrier of the life that is on the inside. It's carrying the gene. It's the source that God uses in order to produce what it is. And the reason God did that is because the original way wasn't to come by a body. Not a body of sin, not a body of flesh. And we should have all come by the spoken word. But now that God has redeemed us and we are the people of redemption, we are the people of restoration in the age of restoration, we believe now she has been restored back to the original identity of what she should have been in the beginning. Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians 6:19. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Again, Peter says it like this in 1 Peter 2:5. You also as lively stones. Not a dead church. Not a church that's dead. Not a church that has no move of God. But we are lively stones today. We are alive. The church of God is not sitting waiting on something. God is alive, breathing in her, living in her. You're built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. But then Paul says in Ephesians 2, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth. It groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also build it together for a habitation of God. How, Brother David? Through the Spirit. So the church of God will be revealed through an end time bride. Amen. The elect will be the habitation of God. And the church said amen. God ain't got, remember what Abraham tells us, that you are a part of Him. He tells us that things are to be. If we are those attributes of God, we cannot live by creeds. We cannot live by denominationalism. We must live by the Word, because the bride is a part of the bridegroom, like any wife is a part of her husband. Therefore, we must be that Word bride. What is that Word bride? What is it? It's the manifestation of this hour. Not a creed or denomination, but it is a living oracle God. Not a historical God, not a historical figure, but it is a living oracle of Almighty God. God's attributes are alive this morning. His genes are alive in somebody in this building this morning. It's a living oracle God, a living attribute of God, displaying to the world the attributes of God in the formation of the bride that's to be expressed in this hour that we are now living. So the bride, the God's people, His seed, is the manifestation of everything that He is, she is. Even though her manifestation, notice this, he said the manifestation means it's the object that clearly shows that it's embodying something. You are not your own. You've been bought by a price. Someone else is living in you. If you've received a new birth and have been regenerated by the blood of Christ, there's somebody that's living in you. You don't belong to yourself no more. You are the very living tabernacle, a very living oracle of Almighty God. Notice this definition of manifestation, this full definition. It says it's the act or the process of manifesting. Something that manifests a perceptible outward or visible expression. It's one of the forms in which an individual is manifested. It's a phenomenon. I like that. I said it's a phenomenon. It's a public demonstration of power and purpose. I'm finding something out about me this morning. I'm a public demonstration of God's power. I'm a public demonstration of God's purpose. It's a public demonstration. So the bride is the visible expression of what God is. What God is in the invisible is what the bride is in the visible this morning. The bride is a demonstration of God's power. When God wants to move, He uses you. When God wants to speak, He uses you. It's the hour that God is expressing Himself. He expresses Himself by individuals. It's through the life of the bride that God will be displayed. It's through the very life of the bride that the gene of God, the attributes of God, become revealed to the world that people can know that God is still alive. You say, wait a minute, Brother David. People know that God's still alive because of Brother Branham. I want to remind you, Brother Branham's buried in Jeffersonville this morning. But God ain't buried in Jeffersonville. Hallelujah. God ain't buried in Jerusalem. He is alive this morning. He's resurrected here in a bride body. Hallelujah. That's why Brother Ram tells us in the healing of Joshua's daughter, the kingdom of God lays within the human being. I said within the human being. Jesus said, one place, I'm the vine, you're the branches. The vine can't bear the fruit. The branches and the vine bears fruit. God cannot bear fruit of Himself. It's got to take the church. Is that right? He's got to take you branches to bear His fruit. And when you branches are yielded to the vine, glory, then the fruit comes. See what I mean? God wants your hands. God wants your hands. He wants your eyes. He wants your tongue. He wants your lips. He wants your ears. He wants your hands and feet so He can bring forth fruit through you. You're the living temple of God. For Paul said, you're the temple of the living God. That God has said, I will dwell in them and I will walk in them. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. Hallelujah. And then he says in the next verse, he says, and I will be a father unto you. I'll be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Once God makes this proclamation, it must be as God has said. If God said he's going to be the father, he's going to be the father. If God said that you're going to be his son, you're going to be his son. If God said you're going to be his daughter, you can't help from being what God has already said. Notice this word father. It actually comes from the Greek word pater. What's the definition? In the Greek, it is a generator. It's the progenitor, a source of life. I'll be their father. I'll be their source of life. Either the nearest ancestor, father of a corporal nature, both parents. Both parents. Both parents. You will not be a son of the byproduct. You're a son of the original this morning. Amen, church. It's the founder of a race. The founder, the originator of a race. It's a progenitor of people, forefather, founders of a race. God is telling you, I'm going to be your father. I'm going to be the founder of your race. I'm going to be the progenitor of your race, the originator, the transmitter of anything, the author of a family or a society of persons animated by the Spirit as himself. You're animated as the very life of God in you. It's the Spirit of Christ in you that's animating your life. One who has infused his own spirit into others, glory to God, who actuates and governs their minds. We don't have our own mind. We have the mind of Christ this morning. And God has come down and he has put his spirit in us. And we are only animated in this life by the spirit that is inside of us. Brother Bram said, if I had the spirit of John Dillinger in me, I'd be a gunslinger. If I had the spirit of Michelangelo, I'd be a great artist. Hallelujah. But brother, what if you've got the Spirit of Almighty God in you? He is a progenitor of a race of people. He is the originator of this new race. He's telling us there's going to be a bride and he's going to be their father. He's not going to be just the parent, the seed. He's going to be both egg and seed. Hallelujah. Brother David, I got to hear some message on that. Remember, Brother Ram said, as the Word was in Mary, so is the Word in the bride. God bypassed the egg of Mary, and he created both egg and seed inside of her womb in order to produce the body of Christ. Don't you see he is both parents this morning? A son is only a further continuation of what his father is. Because the father transmitted all the life that was in him down to his son. And the son, glory, picks up that spirit life. And now he is a living example, a living attribute, a living oracle of everything that his daddy was. Ooh, glory. That we know, we understand that we're living in a scientific age. And Brother Brim tells us how that science has achieved some incredible feats in our days. And we know that in the message of the countdown, Brother Brim tells us as science has achieved in the natural, that God is doing the same thing, achieving something in the supernatural. Amen. And we understand that as the natural man of science would begin to evolve and to be able to make something greater, he can only do it because he's the negative of the positive. As God begins to unfold himself, the knowledge of God, the mind of God begins to flow through the earth, and science taps into that realm, and they begin to see there's something more than what we always looked at. In the last 50 years, there's been more research than ever in the history of the world. Glory. There's been more history researching and using stem cells and DNA than what there ever has been in history. Science has literally broken into the very laboratory of God. They've taken the very building blocks of life, if you will, the very building blocks of humanity, the genes and the stem cells, and what they're trying to do is they're doing their best, as it was from plant life, up stopping the animal life. They're trying their best in order to multiply the cells of an original seed. That's good, and you're just sitting there. Let me say it again. The very building blocks of humanity. Now science has cracked open the very recipe, if you will, of what makes up a man. Glory. They dug into man so deep. Hallelujah. They dug into him so deep that they recognize the very genetic makeup of what man lives by. Amen. They're taking genes and stem cells and they're trying to multiply them. They want to take an original gene and take that one gene and multiply many, glory, after what that one gene is. What I'm talking about is what they call cloning. I'm sure you're familiar with it, that cloning, according to definition, cloning is a process that can be used to produce genetically identical copies. Yay, nay, maybe, good, bad. I'll say it again. Genetical identical copies. They're wanting to produce more after the original cell. They want to produce a whole bunch after that one cell. It's a copy material which has the same genetic makeup. Has the same genetic makeup as the original is referred to as a clone. In other words, they take one's genes and they make an exact copy of the genes of that one. Now, every multiplication of a gene will stamp out to be an identical copy of the first gene that's being produced. If it produces another germ, another gene, another cell, it is not the original. Let me just preach it in the spiritual. I said if it ain't producing the same thing, it is not the original seed. It's not the original cell. If it ain't producing the same thing that went into the ground, it's not the same thing. And the church said amen. They are genetically modifying these cells in order to produce many after one. So every time a gene is manifested, it produced the same genetic makeup as it did the first time. Whew. Now, when Abraham talked about this, science had only come so far to where they was able to crossbreed seeds. And Birdman would talk how that they would make a crop of hybrid seeds. It's because science in the 50s and the 60s, they had only achieved to a level to where they can mix seeds. But brother, they didn't stay there. Let me say it like this. Science has been maturing in their understanding. Science has been maturing to move past just plant cells. They have already went into animal cells, not just lower life form, but even mammals itself. Glory. Now, Roman talks about hybriding, and he tells us once something becomes crossed, and they do that, they actually cross cells in order to make a super seed. That's what they want. They want a super seed. Certain places in America, you cannot take and plant certain seeds, and what they got a problem with is that they plant a seed in order to have a crop, and what happens is, if the weather turns off too cold, that seed in its original form cannot stand the cold, therefore it dies. So they had been taking that seed, and they had been mixing it with a plant source out of Antarctica and places of cold regions, and they mix some of the genome cells inside of that plant that when the cold takes place, that there's a life source inside of it that can withstand the cold. It's a super plant. It's a super cell. It's a super seed. It's a super race of plants. Glory to God. When you walk through the water, I'll be with you. And they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, they'll not be burnt. What's he producing? He's producing a super race, a super people. Not something by hybrid, but if you get that original seed, Jesus Christ, there's no devil in hell that can stop you. Hallelujah. Glory. I say you don't have to take it from Antarctica to get it. You don't have to take it from Jerusalem or Rome. You have to take it from Calvary. Hallelujah. Brother, if you take that original seed from Calvary, ain't no fire can burn you. Ain't nothing can hurt you. Ain't no lion can eat you. Not even death can touch you. Now, science has moved. Now watch, from botany life and biological materials to entire organisms. And so they started, what you think about this? They started from lower life and they moved to the higher life. We don't believe in evolution, but God created in an evolutionary manner, he said. And God's power to transform. Let me lay this out. That's the way God did about the world. He worked. It was in his mind. If you notice, it come like by evolution. Like he was learning all the time. But God wasn't learning. It just looked like God was learning. Don't you see where science has broken over into the laboratory of God? And they see evolution because that's the way that God created it. They don't give the credit to God. They give it to some big bang. Oh yeah, I believe in the big bang. God said, let there be. Bang, it happened. Hallelujah! Not something all friends think about. How puny of an argument to think that all of this come from some bang in the atmosphere. It came from the very mouth of Jehovah. Glory to God! It come like by evolution, like he was learning more, making something greater and greater. But see, he was above it all. I want to remind you that this morning, he's above it all. No matter what you're going through, he's above it all. No matter how big your problem is, let me tell you, he's above it all. He is above it all. It just let it evolute up to that sea. Everything he began to bring upon the earth, from botany life and fish and so forth, it come on into birds and into animals. And then, glory, and then something in his own image. Something in his own image. A man! And he stopped there. Because it was up to his perfection. So when God got his life produced in a human body, it was to perfection. I said when the entirety of God's life was made manifest in a human being, God said it's good. He's come to perfection again. He cut to perfection of what he wanted. Now remember, natural achievements are a type of spiritual achievements. Again, in the visible union, Brother Ram says it again, just like evolution came, just like the first thing God created probably. Let's say he created botany life first, and then he created animal life, then he created human life next. Kind of evolution rising higher. And so it has been in God and his church. Isn't it amazing? Every time Brother Ram mentions God, he mentions you. Every time he mentions Gene, he mentions you. Every time he begins to mention an attribute, he mentions you. It has been in God in his church. Justification of loser, that's pulling his bride out. He's creating. He's creating. I said he's creating his bride. Justification under Luther, sanctification under Wesley, and so forth. You see, he, the evolution of the spirit, has been given more and more because the body is building. The body is building. So as it came from seed life and botany life and biological materials, it moved up into animal life. And from animal life, it moved up into man. And the same thing has been going on in the church. He started down at the feet and he begins to build the body from the feet. Hallelujah. Back up to the head. Then from Luther and Wesley and through sanctification all the way down to the restoration of the gifts. But the restoration of the gifts wasn't all of it. I said tongues wasn't all of it. Shouting wasn't all of it. Dancing wasn't all of it. Just the Pentecostal time wasn't all of it. But he actually brought the headstone, the capstone back upon the church. He's building his body. He's building his body. How, Brother David? By creation. Coming to the head, which is Christ, the body of Christ. So for the last 50 years, in labs all over the world, there's been a tremendous race going on. This race is to be the first people, the first nation to clone certain things. There's been a great race in every lab, even from the 50s. Scientists has been working and working and working, trying to produce genes after the original over and over again, trying to make genetic makeup of copies of the original gene. Now, in the National Human Genome Research Institute, it says it like this. I thought this was interesting. Over the last 50 years, don't you just love the way God does things? This ain't been since the 30s. This ain't been since the 1800s. Because in the 1800s, it wasn't time yet. But whenever the seals come open, come on church, and the word become manifested, and the very mind of God become instituted upon this earth, all of a sudden science begins to achieve at a rapid rate. Brother, if science is achieving, what's God achieving this morning? Hallelujah! Over the last 50 years, scientists have conducted cloning experiments in a wide range of animals using a variety of techniques. In 1979, researchers produced the first genetically identical mice, but watch how they did it, by splitting mouse embryos in a test tube and then implanting the resulting embryo into the womb of adult female mice. Shortly after that, researchers produced the first genetically identical cows, sheep, chickens, by transferring, I said chickens, by transferring the nucleus of a cell taken from an early embryo into an egg that had been emptied of its nucleus. So they actually take the chromosomes that would be so many from the female, so many from the male, come together, they produce an offspring. But when it comes to the egg, they literally take and put a needle inside that egg and they draw out the nucleus from that egg. All it is just a barren egg. I said it's just a barren egg looking for something. Glory to God. Looking for something to come and be implanted in it so it can produce something. Lord help me. Notice it said it had been emptied of its nucleus. It was not until 1996, however, that researchers succeeded in cloning the first mammal. The first mammal. Watch now. From a mature, you see that word right there? From a mature cell, somatic cell, taken from an adult animal. So this cell wasn't taken from a little bitty baby, glory. It wasn't taken from an infant. It was taken from a cell of a sheep that was an adult, had come to a place of maturity. Amen. The shepherd was so great, he become one of us. He become a sheep. He become like you and I. But God did not pull the cell out of it just when he was born. But Jesus had to come to a place of maturity. And when he come to a place of maturity, God drawed that life out of him. Glory. Calling the first mammal from a mature somatic cell taken from an adult animal. Now you watch the difference between God and man. Science after 276 attempts. God didn't need that. He just needed one. After 276 attempts, Scottish researchers finally produced Dolly. The lamb, watch this, the lamb from the udder cell of a 6-year-old sheep. 6 years old. The normal lifespan of a sheep is 12 years old. This sheep had come to maturity, a time of maturity, the time at its height of its life, of what it is. Glory. Hallelujah. And now, what's it come? Now remember, he takes it from the udder cell, this sheep, which is female. And then he inserts it over into an empty egg that's been emptied of its nucleus. And they begin to produce, after 276 tries, they finally produce one. Well, here's the real secret of the story is this, is that there was some that had made it a long ways in another womb. But the problem is, they never could get past the birth. That's a glory. Now, it doesn't matter if you take the cell from the head, or if you take it from the hand, or you take it from the ear, or you take it from the legs, or you take it from the feet. Because the DNA is the same in the head as it is in the feet. Brother, it don't matter what part of the body of Christ you are, you're the same DNA. Hallelujah! You're the same DNA that he is. No matter what part you're manifesting, you've got the same life. Hallelujah. 276 attempts, Scottish researchers finally produced Dolly the Lamb from the udders of a six-year-old sheep. 2 years later, researchers in Japan cloned 8 calves from 1 single cow. Besides cattle and sheep and other mammals that have been cloned from somatic cells includes cat, deer, horse, mule, ox, rabbits, and rats. In addition to that, a rhesus monkey has also been cloned. Can I add one to that list? Can I add somebody to that list? Something that's greater than just an animal. Something that's greater than the natural life of a mammal. But I want to tell you, there has been a whole bride church that has been cloned at the very image of Almighty God. Hallelujah. So we're living in a cloning age. They're trying to reproduce copies of an original. They're doing it by a process called gene multiplication. Or I'll call it, as Brother Ram did, spiritual multiplication by the word. But I want to tell you that the scientist wasn't the first one to do this. God was. In the beginning, every son and daughter of God was within the DNA genetic makeup of what God was. Amen. We was an intricate part of what He is. We was a thought in His mind. I'll call it a spiritual gene, a spiritual somatic cell. You was within God, you was a part of God, and then God took what He was in Himself, and then in the beginning when He began to create, simply what God did was, He began to reflect what was in the heaven down upon the earth. Amen. Notice God took a reflect upon the earth whenever He created Adam. He created Adam after His own image, in His own likeness of what He was. And the scripture says, so He created man in His own image, and the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Now notice the image of God was not just male, but it was male and female. This means yes in Tennessee, and this means no. Within God was both masculine and feminine. He had a spiritual DNA that made up both bride and groom. You was a part of Him. Amen. Now notice within Adam, when he was created upon the earth, inside of Adam was his wife. And I'll tell you, within God was his wife. Amen. But notice within this man, Adam, his bride, God had something inside of him that was going to be an exact copy of what Adam was. Amen. Amen. His clone, Adam's clone, was made in the very image of Adam because Adam was made in the very image of God. So everything that God was, Adam was. And everything that Adam was, the woman was. Isha, she was the same as what Adam was because she was a part of Adam. Brother, don't separate them because you're a part of him this morning. See, within Adam was both. Now remember, one was just as much as a part as the other. Masculine and feminine, both of them was in God. Well, brother, which one was God? They was both God. They was both eternal. They both had God's life. They both had God's self, God's DNA. His attributes of why he was exactly what she is. Glory. Notice in the Message Oneness, 1962, he said, if you'll notice that Eve was united with Adam, she became a part of him. Did you notice Genesis 1:27? He created man, male and female, created he them. The man was both male and female when it came to being in the spirit. In the spirit. Amen. Masculine and feminine. Then God took from his side a rib. Did you notice the body part was a byproduct? But I want to remind you, it was only the body that's a byproduct. The spirit was the original. He said your body, notice the body was a byproduct, but not the spirit. The body part of the woman was a byproduct. After the creation had been finished, God took from the side of Adam a rib and made a woman, but not the spirit. The spirit was a part of Adam. Brother, you can look at your byproduct every day of your life if you want to, but I want to remind you, your spirit did not come from your mom and daddy. If you've been born again, you've got a heavenly spirit that come from your original father, your original, the originator, the progenitor of what you are. So the only difference between you and Adam is the body. Glory. Amen. The body was a byproduct, but not the spirit. The spirit was a part of the original. Don't you see? That's what God wants today. He wants people that's made of the original why he is. You know what gets me down? My byproduct. You know what discourages me? My byproduct. Brother, mine right now, the flesh might be weak, Jesus said, but the spirit is willing. This body might get down all night. It may have a few bad days, but brother, there's a spirit inside of me. It never gets weak. It never has a bad day. My Holy Ghost ain't never had a bad day. My Holy Ghost ain't never had a day when he was mad. My Holy Ghost ain't never had a day he was upset. He's happy every single day. He's confessing the word every day. Glory. So the woman was only a further expression. She was only a copy of what Adam was. Even though their bodies was different, she was still Adam. Hallelujah. She was still Adam. For the Bible says in Genesis 5:1, this is the book of the generation of Adam. And that day when God created man in the likeness of God, made he him. Male and female created them. And then God blessed them. And he called their name Adam. So we might be different in body, but when it comes to the spirit, I got the same spirit he does. Even when it comes to my name, he don't even call me church. He calls me bride. Amen. And called their name Adam. So Adam was God in every detail. And the church said amen. Adam was God in every detail. He's an exact copy. He was a clone of everything that God was in the heavens. Adam was a perfect clone of what God was in heaven. He is on the earth. Adam got to looking around and said, man, monkey's got a mate. Cows has got a mate. Horses has got a mate. And I ain't got a mate. And God planted this and God created it and said, every seed. And that seed come forth. And God said, that's good. And then God began to create from animal life, from botany life to animal life. And when he got to the height of that creation, God says, it's good. But when it come to man being alone, God looked down at Adam and said, that ain't good. That ain't good. So God put Adam to sleep. And out of, oh my, it issued forth out of Adam the father. Glory! Out of Adam's, the progenitor, the original. Here come Isha, which is woman, taken out of man. Don't you see what God's doing? The first one to ever clone was Almighty God. And he poured it out of the original. I said he was pulling out a bride. He's been pulling out a bride. What do you think's been going on for the last 6,000 years? Did not Brother Brown just say, down from Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, what's he been doing? Pulling out a bride. He's been pulling out the original while he is. Glory. He created woman, Isha, in the image of Adam. Her cells was the same as his cells. Her genes was the same as his genes. If you would have performed a DNA makeup upon Eve, it would have been the same DNA that Adam had. She was flesh of his flesh, literally bone of his bone. Glory! She was an exact replica of who he was. Oh my, don't you see what God's doing? He's showing a prefigure of what's coming one day. That's why Abraham tells us in Christ the mystery. Behold, the threefold purpose of God's great mystery is revealed. God made manifest in Christ. Christ manifested in the church in order to redeem the lost Eve. Hallelujah. In order to redeem the lost Eve back to the original condition in the Garden of Eden. So God would not be a full restorer unless he takes and puts Eve back in her original position. Amen, church. I said God has not restored until he puts man back in his original position, back in the garden where he fell at. Don't you see a millennium reign's coming? Don't you know a 1,000-year millennium reign is coming where God is going to have a people that's going to walk out of the ashes of the wicked? Hallelujah! And Brother Ram said, Satan's going to be bound with a chain of circumstance. And he said, that ain't some long chain. He said, the circumstance is that Satan ain't going to have nobody to work through during that time. And brother, Satan will be bound and you and I will be happy. Glory! So the original condition wasn't Adam and Eve. It was Adam and Adam. Amen? Because Eve never got her own identity until she hybrid that original seed. Amen, church. She went from being called Adam to being called Eve, the mother of all living. But I want you to notice, she was first a part of the original, and then she takes the original, but Ram said, and she hybrid it. But God, oh glory, but God is going to take us back from a hybrid condition. He's got to restore what you fell from. He's got to take the hybrid condition that you came by the first hybriding. He's got to reverse the symptoms of it and give you a body like his own glorious body. Now, before Adam and Eve fell, while they was yet spirit being, God commissioned them and told them, multiply and replenish the earth. So God wanted every son that would come forth out of Adam. God wanted every son to come forth by spiritual multiplication by the word. But besides coming by the spoken word, it comes through a hybrid birth. And God said, the day thou eat thereof, and you replenish according to after that tree, of that fruit that that serpent had in his mouth when he run down that limb and got to talking with that apple in his mouth. Oh my, how stupid we sound sometimes. But when she hybrided, Brother Ram said, from that day forward, every man's body was born after the original sin besides the original word. It should have come forth by the original word. But besides the original word, it come forth by the original sin. But God told them, before sin ever came, God told them to multiply and replenish the earth. God wanted multiplication by the spoken word. God wanted gene expression. He wanted clones after his own kind, but he didn't want it after a sectag. He wanted it by somebody speaking the word. See, God didn't just want Adam. He wanted a whole race full of people. Hallelujah. Remember, Brother Ram said it, if Eve would not have hybrid the word, he said that Eve would have finally given birth to Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody. But notice, he would have come forth by the original spoken word as God had already thought. But when she hybrided, notice, she failed the commission that God gave. But I want to remind you that God's word can't fail. Amen. Once God institutes a law and said multiply and replenish, God can't take that word back. Amen. Now remember, as we heard it here just about a month or two ago, Brother Ram tells us, he said when the fall took place, the holy image of God left Adam and Eve because of the fall. But since the fall came by a woman disbelieving the word, glory, in order to redeem man back from his condition that he fell from, come on church, in order to restore man back, he's got to bring his word back through a woman, believing the promise of God, in order to produce a union that would bring forth the original Son of God in his fullness. Well, that is a mouthful. Since the fall came by a woman disbelieving, God must use a woman to restore us back to the original word image. Notice what God did. Now watch this cloning. Watch God. And let us see the church age. Brother Ram said, as the Spirit of God, he came down and created in the Virgin Mary. He created in the Virgin Mary. He created the cells from which his body was born. So God went over into his laboratory. Glory to God. And God began to take the very DNA cells, the genetic makeup of what he is. And God began to put that. Now notice, when he come down to Mary, he did not take the human ovum from Mary in order to produce something that would be after her body. That's what the Catholics believe. Jesus was not a part of Mary's body. Jesus was not a part of Mary's egg. I'll tell you that God Almighty pulled the nucleus out of the very egg of Mary. Amen, somebody. God come down into that empty womb that had been emptied, and God put his egg and his seed into a woman. Oh friends, don't you see the mystery of your life? Don't you see that's what God has always been wanting to do to you? He wants you to be the Word made flesh. Glory to God. Fall come by union. But now God, remember the fall come by union. But in order to restore back, God takes and does it by an invisible union. The fall come by a visible physical union, but restoration is going to come by an invisible union. And if it's invisible, the devil can't see what's going on. He knows there's something taking place. He knows that there's something going on, but he doesn't know what it is because it's an invincible union. Glory!
Oh, hallelujah. Don't you just love him today? He created the Virgin Mary, the cells from which his body was born. I want to repeat that. Thank you, Brother Branham. Repeat it. He created the very cells, the somatic cells, the DNA cells, the very nucleus of what he was. God created that. He created the very cells in the womb of Mary for that body. It was not enough for the Holy Spirit to simply give life to a human ovum supplied by Mary. That would have been sinful mankind producing a body. We've had that since the beginning. That would not have produced the last Adam. For of him it was said, lo, a body has the Father. Same word, Father. Same word, Father. Same exact word. In other words, he's going to be the originator of a brand new race of people. He's going to be the progenitor of a people that's going to be a super cell people, super DNA inside of them. Lo, body hast thou, Father, prepared for me. God, not Mary, provided that body. Hallelujah. Mary was a human incubator. She carried the Holy Child and brought him to birth. It was a God-man. He was the Son of God. He was of the new creation. Man and God met and joined. He was the first of this new race. He was the head of this new race. Brother, when I read that Tuesday afternoon, I like to recognize it. If he's the head of it and we have to come to the headstone in order to be united with him, what's that going to produce? Everything after the kind of what he is. So Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. He wasn't just another prophet. He wasn't just another preacher. He wasn't just another man. He was God manifest in the flesh. The very image of God come down into the image of a man. Oh, think about that. The image of God birthed himself into the image and the likeness of a man. He had God's genes. He had God's DNA. He has God's somatic cells. He has God's life in him. No wonder Brother Bram said all that was in God, he poured it into Christ. And John picks it up in John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Verse 14. And the Word was made, created flesh. Dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. Glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Notice, whenever John described him, he described the attributes of what his genes was. He's going to be full of grace. He's going to be full of truth. It's because he's made after the very genetic makeup of what God is. Jesus produced the very life of God. How can God, that fills the vast of the heavens and the earth, he fills all in all, created every star in the heavens and the universe. How can something so big come down and come down, come down till you can't even see it? It would take a microscope to see. And if you was looking through the microscope when God created it, you would have looked inside of that woman and you would have seen cells materialize before your eyes. Where there was nothing, God made something. I said, well, there was nothing. God put something there. Talking about Jesus, Paul says in Hebrews 1:3, he said, Jesus, whom being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Notice, Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory, the expressed image. The expressed image. Jesus was the expressed DNA of what God was. What the image of God was made manifest in the man. That word expressed image, oh I love this. It comes from the Greek word character. Character. It means an expressed image. The instrument used for engraving or carving an expression. Glory to God. It's an exact expression, the image of any person or thing, marked likeness, it's a precise reproduction in every respect. In other words, it's a clone.
it's an exact reproduction, a precise reproduction in every respect. And I want you to notice, Jesus was the very first thing that God created in order to create more after the original what He was. He was an exact expression of God. He was a precise reproduction of what God was. And then there has a word at the very end of there, and that word that they use is facsimile. Now, I'm not very smart, so I had to look it up because I'd heard that before. And usually what we call it is just facts. Just facts. So Jesus was the very facts of Almighty God sent down to the earth. Now, if you're going to send the facts, remember what you do. You take the original copy of what you got. You take that original copy, you put it down inside of that fax machine, and on the other end, down somewhere in time somewhere, there comes an exact reproduction, amen, an exact reproduction of that original copy. Glory! Amen! So God in heaven took His DNA, took His somatic cells, took everything that He was, and He ran Himself down into that fax machine. And when it got down here on earth, it went, wah! And from that day forward, He began to grow and grow and grow and grow. And the Bible said He grew in stature and wisdom. Hallelujah. The man God grew in stature and wisdom. What's He doing? Producing a body that can keep every word of His Father. Oh God. It's called a fax. We call it a fax. You actually fax the original document. And it's a copy of what the original was. Every mark, oh listen to this, every mark that's on the paper, every mark that's on the original becomes evident what's on the original because it's on the copy. I'll say it better than that. If the seal was on the original and He got sealed with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, brother, when He faxed Himself inside of you, He will have the same seal. And the only thing you have to do to have, get a fax is you got to have a fax machine already. It don't matter how far it is away. It don't matter how far it is away. I said time is no limit to God. Distance is no problem to God. If it's across the world in Africa, God can fax His life to them. If it's right here in the United States, God can fax His life to you. It doesn't matter where you're at, as long as you've got the right line. I mean the main line. And you're connected, amen. And you're connected with Almighty God, you can receive the life. Glory. Just as the first Adam was a reflection of God and His bride, now here is the second Adam, which is a reflection of what God was. Now within Jesus, the last Adam, if you will, because some people preach a third Adam, and I'll just call him the last Adam. That's what the Bible calls him. He had something within him. Amen. As Adam had his bride within him, the second Adam, the last Adam, has his bride within him. I'm telling you, you was represented in that body when it come down to earth. When God faxed Himself down to earth, you got faxed right down there with Him. When, hallelujah! When that egg and that cell come together and it created that word, brother, you was there. Well, let's see, church, church. He was the Son of God. He was a new creation. Man and God met and joined. He was the first of this new race. He's the head of it. Now, it didn't say He was the last. Oh, glory. It said He's the first. Now, remember, God didn't just want Adam, 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 Adam. God wanted a whole race after what Adam was. Now, remember, the image of God was masculine and feminine. And that was all put within Adam when Adam was created from the earth. So when God come down through the earth of Mary, amen church, through the body of the earth, the mandate of what Mary was, now God pours it all inside of Mary and now she begins to bring forth the word. This time it ain't his feet down into the earth like looking like roots of a tree. That ain't what it looks like. But He begins to unveil the mystery of what He's going to be in the end time. He comes down. Remember, the first time God come down to manifest Himself, He done it in a man. The second time He does it in a woman. After you cross the chasm It comes down now to where a woman is producing the word. Notice Jesus Christ reveals himself in the masculine. But somewhere within him, you was within that body. Laodicean church, Brother Brown said he's standing in the midst of his church as he's standing there revealing who he is in this last age. Now notice, he's standing in the midst of his church. And he stands there revealing who he is in this last age. My question, who is he revealing himself through? Think about it. As the word was in Mary, so shall it be in you. So he comes down into the church and begins to reveal himself what he is. He calls himself the author of the creation of God. This is another creation. This has to do with the church. This is a special designation of himself. He is the creator of that church. Listen to this. The heavenly bridegroom created his own bride. God in his great science lab created you and I by the word. That's why, listen friend, that's why she has his potentials, because she has his life. Spoken word, original seed. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. The law of reproduction, bringing forth of its kind. Genesis 1:11. These last days, the true church bride comes to the headstone. She will be a super church, a super race. As they near the headstone. So as we've been coming up from the feet all the way to the head, the body keeps maturing, maturing, maturing until finally you come back to the headstone. And he says they will be so much like him. They will be in his very image. In order to be united with him, they will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. Now remember, God told them before the fall happened, multiply and replenish the earth. Multiply and replenish the earth. And understand, it was never fulfilled in the book of Genesis. Notice, Adam and Eve produced more children, but it wasn't by the original commission. So God comes down and produces the original word to fulfill the original commission that he said in Genesis. You see how God's got to keep his word. God know that word laid there, and God is faithful. He must keep his word, so he come down and put himself in man so he can fulfill that word. Amen. Now remember, God wasn't going to speak it just out of the elements, but Brother Brown said the seed must come through the body. Amen. Spoken word is original seed. If Adam was God's word, his spoken word is original seed. He was the first thing by creation. Then his second Adam was also by creation by the spoken word. Again, the bride of Adam was a type of the second Adam's bride. Now Adam's bride could not wait. God told Adam and Eve, multiply and replenish the earth. Watch this. It was an oncoming thing, a promise. God's word can't fail. Again, he tells us the next paragraph. If God said multiply to his bride, glory to God. If he said multiply to his bride, to Adam's bride, and replenish and multiply and replenish the earth, that was God's commission. When God gave a commission which cannot perish. God's word is eternal. He cannot fail. When he said multiply and replenish the earth, that was God's eternal purpose. To carry that out, you cannot die because it's his word. You have to live. Watch this statement. If that child been brought forth right, there had been no death. Glory to God. Do you see where we're living at? Do you see what day we're living in? Had she had come forth by the original word, that child would have never been able to die. You realize, had Adam have created this boy, Abel, had he had come forth by the original word, Cain could have never killed Abel. Amen, somebody. Had the child been brought forth right, there would have been no death. So this time it produced death. The next time God's going to have a woman who is standing on the earth, and guess what? She can't die. In the end time, we're going to be back to where a woman is producing the word, and this time God's going to change her body. Death can't even touch her. Since the bride has come forth by the spoken word in the last days, God's got to change her body where she doesn't even die. If we're back to the original word, if we're back to the spoken word, remember what Brother Rev said the spoken word is? The spoken word is the original seed. What do you think this message is? This message didn't come from a man. It wasn't birthed in Kentucky. It came from the very mind of God. But David, you make it sound like this message is the spoken word. You got it, brother. This ain't something that's been mixed with creeds. It's not something that's been mixed with dogmas. This is a living oracle, a living attribute of God. Hallelujah. Oh my. Notice God's commission can't fail. When God commissioned that which cannot perish, watch the last verse. If that child been brought forth right, there would have been no death. So God actually brings back life besides death. Where in the world did he get them keys at? Because since you come out of the original second Adam, which a new creation by the word, he went down to hell, defeated death, hell, and the grave, and he brought the keys back and he gave them to the church. Amen! Glory to God! Don't you see, church? If there's going to be a body change in the last days, there's got to be something produced in you by that original word that cannot die. Amen. Remember, Brother Ram said, we don't die as others. Amen, church. Paul said, we sorrow not as those that have no hope. We don't cry like those that ain't got no body change coming. We don't cry like those that ain't got no theophanies. Brother, we got a home. We got a body that's been made. It's called a theophany body that is eternal in the heavens. Amen. Glory to God. Glory. As she nears him, she becomes like him. How is she becoming like him? Brother Bam took it back in the message. Who's this Melchizedek? And he referred to how that mama eagle produced two seeds. And one seed, the original seed from that mama, got put down in the barnyard amongst all these chickens out here. They was chicken cloned after chicken after chicken after chicken. But brother, there was one that had the DNA of an eagle. Glory! And brother said, when that eagle called, that when that mama eagle called, that little eagle had to respond to that call because it had eagle. Glory to God! It had eagle life in it, had eagle DNA in it. Glory! When she called, he had something to respond to that call. And Brother Ram said, when you recognize this message to be eagle food, he said, you left that other thing. You heard from your theophany. How can you hear from a theophany unless your theophany has a voice? Your theophany has a voice. When it come in this age, when it come in this age, it sounded like a Kentucky hillbilly. But they don't like it. Don't care if you don't like it. Because when I recognized this message to be the very eagle food of God, I heard something calling me. Catholics can't produce this. Church of Christ can't produce this. Presbyterians can't. Hallelujah! It took the original seed, the spoken word. Oh, I got to quit, but I don't feel like it. Think about it. Marriage and divorce, 65 in a hurry. Look at the final analysis. You know, like in a lab. Thank you, Lord. That is so good. Look at the final analysis. There's one Jesus Christ. Is that right? One man. God. Emmanuel. And then he says, do you believe that? And the congregation says, but the members of his wife, they are many. Glory to God. Thousands times thousands of thousands. Boy, Brother David, I just hope there's just going to be five there. I'll just repeat this quote. Thousands on top of thousands of thousands. Is that right? His wife, the bride, the church. You understand now? Do you understand now? What has he been doing? Spiritually multiplication by the word over and over again. He takes one. Remember, lest a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die in the bark alone. But if it dies, it brings forth the whole crop. Isn't it amazing? They take one wheat plant. They put it in the wheat, into the ground. It goes in the ground. It literally dies from what death? It actually brings life. Amen. Now I'm told from one kernel of a wheat plant, I'm told there's 120 seeds in there. Mm-hmm. Jesus, that one died. But on the day of Pentecost, 120 come up. What was it, Brother David? Spiritual multiplication by the word. And from that day forward, God has been producing children right after that original word, not something hybrid now. I'm talking about the original word of God. And God's been producing one son after another son after another son until finally he's got a whole church, a whole bride that is of the original word. Very clones of his DNA. You believe that? Members of his wife for many thousands, thousands of thousands. His wife, the bride of the church. You understand now? That's why he said to Adam before sex was ever introduced, multiply and replenish the earth, when he was yet in the beginning, when he was yet both male and female. Glory to God, don't you see? While he was yet in a union is when he said it. So in order to restore it back, there's got to be another union. Hallelujah! The union has got to be brought back into fellowship in order to produce that word. And that shows that the bride has got to come from the word by spiritual multiplication. We're back to the age of the spoken word. And science can't get their hands on that. I said they could cross breed and this breed and that breed. You realize Dolly the sheep was made from the cell of an udder of a mature 6-year-old sheep. So when it was born, the cells in its body was already 6 years old. The normal lifespan of a sheep is 12 years old. The sheep lived 6 years. God, don't you see? You and I come from an eternal cell. So when he go over to God, hallelujah! So when he planted that cell down inside of you, guess what? It can't die. Hallelujah! You may kill the body. The body may be mangled. But there's something in me that come from God and it can't die. Glory to God! She must come forth by spiritual multiplication. You remember, visible union. Remember, when it went down, the grain began to be ripened. You find, let the music players come. You find before that grain can ripen, everything this talk has been dead. Hallelujah. Can't you see where we're standing? Life is in the grain again. What is it? Just exactly like the same grain that went into the ground. I'll say that again. Just exactly like the same grain that went into the ground. The same Jesus in bride form. Glory to God. But baby, she ain't got no power. Hang on. Same Jesus in bride form. Same power. Same church. Same thing. Same word. The same word sucked up for these come out here to the head. All that life that come through here is picked up in its people. Now it's forming up into a head for the rapture. For the rapture. Let me end with this quote. As he being the groom, the bride has to come forth because it's part of him. It can be the only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of the revelations. Any others has spoke of the bride. It can only manifest. If it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride. It ain't the right seed. She's flesh of his flesh. She's bone of his bone. Life of his life. Power of his power. Listen now. She is him. A super race. Stand up if you would. Brother, she is a super race. A super people. Hallelujah. What is she made by? The word of God in this last day. Don't you see why you needed a prophet? You couldn't get this without a prophet. Why? God had to bring a prophet to return our hearts back to the original spoken word seed. Oh, think about it, brother and sister. God's going to give you a body like his own body. We've already heard from it. If you've received the word for this day, you have heard from it. But I want to do just more than hear from it. I'm ready for it to move in. You realize when you take a flesh body and you mix it with a theophany body, you know what you get? A glorified body. Saints has already went on past the current time. They are there in their theophany bodies today. But in the resurrection, they're going to come back and pick up. Now remember, not replacement resurrection. They're going to come back, glory to God, pick up that dust. God's going to mingle together and God's going to glorify that body. What a day to be living in. Think about this. Science has broken into God's laboratory. No other day could this happen. You realize me and Brother Jody was talking about the back room. No other day could this even be preached because now we're on the other side of it looking back upon the research and we can see, I know what science is doing. They're trying to produce genetically modified people. Genetic modified churches. Make them look right, talk right, act right, say the creed right, say everything just perfect. Oh, God ain't looking for people to say things perfect. He's looking to get the perfect one inside of them. If he ever comes inside of you, brother, if he ever comes inside of you, he'll change your body one morning. Let's bow our hearts. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, ain't the word wonderful? I could not wait to preach this morning. Oh, let's bow our hearts. As our brother would just play something, Brother Larry. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. Make this more than a sermon, Lord. But I pray that you'd make it a reality, Father. No doubt the enemy will try to come and knock the props out from underneath us. That's why he tells us all the time, you ain't bride, you ain't chosen, you ain't elected, you ain't a part of it. Who's he trying to convince anyway? I'm not a part of it because of what I did. It's not a cause of works that I had. It's actually by unmerited favor. Glory to God. These people ain't in this building, Lord. They don't come to this message simply just because they thought it would be something good. Something had to call them to it. There's a lot of people's come around it, but unless they heard the call, they won't stay around it. But Lord, I look across this congregation this morning. I see people that's been believing it for years. They've been standing for the truth for years. Lord, I look at different ones and recognize some of them. Or look at the generations that's went by. Look at them one after another, generation after generation after generation. And here we still stand. Oh Lord, I believe you're producing original copies of what you are. You, that instrument that you use was the man Jesus Christ. And from there you begin to form copies of what you are. Father, help us to recognize it. Help us to see it. Help us to accept it. Help us to believe it this morning, I pray. Oh, grant it, Lord. I pray that you'd help us now, Lord, as we look into your word. Thank you, Father. May it be something that we meditate, Lord, more than just this morning. Help us to look into it tonight, tomorrow, Lord. May we wake up when Satan comes against us with everything he's got. May we just let the devil know, I'm a part of that original word. I'm an original clone of the word of God. I have the original DNA of Almighty God. I got royal blood that runs in my veins. I'm a child of the King. Oh, yes, I'm a child of this King. Granted, I pray, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. Let's sing this song. Can't you see why I'm so happy? So our brother come prepare for the baptism. Oh, my. Let's try G. Oh, can't you? Let's go lower now. Oh, can't you see? I'm so happy. Let's go somewhere else on that. Ooh. Oh, can't you see just why that I'm so happy? Hallelujah. Lord, I've accepted the word of the Lord. Oh, please now. I said the
that is it. It's good to be always to have this privilege to be able to fulfill the Word of God and baptizing our brother. This is Carter Lawson. His sister is Claire Moore. And just to give you just a little bit of a background, he was come to this church several years ago. He was baptized about the year 2000. Came 2 or 3 years after that, and he just got kind of lukewarm, backslid, and for several years. And even his sister told him, said, "Now you know, coming back, you're going to take the long. I hope you don't take the long road home." He said, "Well, it was about 12 years, but he's coming back home." So he wants to. He wants to do what he should do, and that's do his first works over. He wants to be rebaptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wants his life to be dedicated to the Lord. He's not. He said, it's over. The world's over. He said, "I want to serve the Lord. The Lord's been dealing with me. I want to come back to God, and I want to stay with God." And I want to read you a quote, if you don't mind. You know, somebody, "Well, what do you think? What do people think? What do you think about backsliders?" Well, let me tell you what God says about it. Brother Bam said here in Confirmation Commission, he said, "And I trust there's someone who here is not a believer in Christ will become a believer tonight." He then closed in prayer. "And if you're here and you haven't been born again or received the Holy Ghost, been filled with the Spirit, I trust that the Lord will be tonight. This night will happen to you. If you're a backslider, I hope that the Lord Jesus will do something so real tonight to you here and warm your heart in such a way you just return back to His fellowship again, because He's waiting with outstretched arms." He's waiting. Some people have a problem with people coming back to the Lord. I have no problem with it. I'm glad, happy, and rejoicing to see that somebody has that desire to come back to the Lord. I'm happy. I'm rejoicing. Brother Carter, would you like to say anything?
I just like to say I thank the Lord. He's been so real to me. He's done so much for me. He's changed. He changed me in many ways, and I know I'll stick with it this time and never go back. Because there's nothing to go back to.
Amen.
So I just want to thank God for everything. I give Him all the honor, praise, and glory for everything.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful, Lord, for this momentous occasion that our brother Carter's coming. He desires, he's already received you back into his heart. Lord, that's the first step. Repent, then be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe, Lord, that if he's predestinated to see, we believe that he is, Lord, that there's a facsimile somewhere that you're going to send down, Lord, and either this morning or days to come, Lord, that it'll come to the very image of Christ. And Lord, we just pray that you'll give him strength. The enemy will come in like a flood. We know that it'll be hardships and trials, but Lord, greater is he that's within us, the Holy Spirit Christ, and he that's in the world. Give him strength, Lord. Now give him determination and courage. And most of all, give him your life, that Holy Spirit, to come within him, Lord, and baptize him with the Holy Ghost. It's my prayer, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these blessings, Lord, and may you do what you promised to do, Lord, to fill him with the Holy Ghost, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Brother Carter, on a confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen. And let the church say amen. Amen. Let's sing that church this song this morning before we go. I'm in this church, this glorious church. I didn't join. I was born. I had a new birth. Well, I'm in this church, this glorious church. I didn't join. No, I was born. I had a word for her. Today, going to fear God, I'd leave this building looking for hell today, wouldn't you? I'd go looking for a devil. Pray that he shows up. Put him under your feet. Amen. God bless you. Certainly trust. Hope you receive something from the Word of God this weekend. Amen. Well, I'm in this church. This glorious church. Thank you.